May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? The fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 32. The second book of Chronicles, reading chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and fought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there were gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. After this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem, but he himself laid siege against Lachish, and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, "Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust, that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, 'The Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria'? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, 'Ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it'? Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? Now therefore let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand, and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand?" And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God, and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem, and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valour, and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with a sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord. And he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honour, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones, and for spices, and for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn, and wine, and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities, and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honour at his death. And Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now to come before him in prayer. O Lord, teach us now to pray. Grant us that true spirit of prayer as we approach before thy holy majesty, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace, thankful for that access, that way made for sinners, guilty sinners, to come before thee through the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading his name, his blood, his righteousness. Oh, to behold the throne of grace, the promise draws us nigh. There Jesus, with a smiling face, waits to answer prayer. For thou art the true God, the living God, prayer hearing and prayer answering, faithful, merciful, gracious. Who is a God like unto thee that delighteth in mercy? Oh, who is a God like unto thee, so high, so holy, and yet hears the cries of the remnant according to grace of poor, needy sinners? And Lord, if we know anything of the plague of our own hearts, if we know anything of ourselves, we are but poor and needy sinners. And we gather here tonight in thy name to worship thee. And may the gathering of the people be unto thee a gathering of poor and needy sinners. But may Jesus himself draw near and come with us. And may thy gracious presence be known and felt here tonight. Oh, may there be some heart burning. Oh, Lord, may there be some softening of heart. May there be some preparation of heart. Oh, Lord, and may thy word be clothed with divine power and become that living, efficacious word in the hearts of many here. Oh, that tonight we might hear the word of the Lord, that the word of the Lord may enter into our hearts and there abide. Oh, Lord, we look to thee. There may be those here longing to hear thy voice, longing to receive thy word. Oh, who would feel it to be such a great blessing and favour. Oh, if there be one word from the Lord, one word communicated unto their soul. Oh, one word which shall be made such a blessing, a help, a comfort, an encouragement unto them. Lord, there may be others here, unconcerned, indifferent, far off. Would it please thee, Lord, to cause thy word to enter into their hearts, a word to arrest, to awaken, to call by thy grace, a word to show them themselves, a word as an arrow of conviction. O Lord, a word to awaken from that slumber, or that state that they may be in, or to make them willing in the day of thy power, to teach them their need of salvation, their need of Christ, their need of sin atoning blood, their need of a spotless robe of righteousness. O Lord, bring such souls into need. So do remember each and every one gathered, from the youngest to the eldest. Attend to every case, supply every need, and Lord, bless each soul. And Lord, may not one returning home after this service feel to be left out, forgotten, to go home disappointed, feeling that there was nothing. Or may it not be like the dear hymn writer when he penned, "I fain would love the day of rest, would still esteem this day the best, but oft, alas, I've need to say, how barren's been my soul today. But mine eyes are up unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Speak the word only. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. O Lord, be not silent. O might this be that appointed time, that appointed season, to so bless souls here. The turning of the captivity. O Lord, the showing of thyself. And as another hymn writer penned, "He'll surely turn and smile again, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain." Those dear souls who feel to be in darkness, who feel to be in bondage, in captivity, who spend their days with sighs and cries and groans, O Lord, who feel to be forgotten, forsaken, all who feel to be outside of a secret, all who feel to be praying in vain, oh, would it please thee, Lord, in thy rich mercy, to manifest thy favour unto them, to speak peace into their hearts and assure them that they have found grace in thy sight, assure them of thy everlasting love, assure them they are found amongst thy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Lord, do remember any cast down by the hardness of the way. Things are crooked. Things are trying. Things are difficult. And wonders where the scene will end. Wonders why these things must be. They may feel to be toiling in rowing, or they may feel to be so perplexed and at a loss, or they may feel that they're at their wit's end. Oh Lord, they may feel desperate. Oh Lord, would it please thee to remember them also and appear for them. O Lord, like dear Job in the depths of his troubles, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, purified, meet for the master's use, with the image of Christ restored. O Lord, do remember souls here who are struggling, who need help, who need deliverance, who need, Lord, that uplift, who need strengthening, who need a may wade. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. We would commit and commend each one unto thee. Lord, bless each one present, and we would remember those who are absent, any in affliction, sickness or weakness, those at home with the little ones, those in lawful employments and any away at this time, remember such. Bless his cause of truth. Continue to work mightily in the midst. And Lord, may there yet be others constrained by the love of Christ to say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. O Lord, loose the tongues of the stammerers and those who are dumb, cause them to speak. O may this be the year of Jubilee, O setting souls at liberty. So Lord, do grant thy blessing on the baptismal service on the coming Saturday, we believe. And help one who ministers the word and administers the ordinance. And do help one to pass through the waters of that open profession of her faith. And do grant, Lord, thy gracious help. And may there be a gracious effect. O Lord, who bless his cause of truth yet, and help thy servants who minister here from time to time, and if it would yet please thee, Lord, to grant a settled ministry here. Remember Zion, remember the churches, for Lord, many are minished and brought very low, some struggling for survival. Oh, how sad of recent times there have been those causes of truth, where the doors are now shut, never to be opened again as a place of worship. These things are very solemn and very sad. Lord, have mercy, shine upon the churches, lest they die. Would it please thee yet to raise up, equip and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry? Lord, there is a great need. And do grant much gracious discernment to those, as it were, holding the doors to the pulpits. O Lord, what gracious discernment is needed to discern those who are truly sent of God. Lord, who have mercy upon our nation. We live in very difficult days, very dark days. O, grant us, Lord, that we be kept faithful in all our ways, faithful unto God, the word of God, the ways of God. Oh, how we need to be kept, for we cannot keep ourselves. Lord, in this dark world of sin, spare us as a nation, grant peace in our times. And Lord, the nations of the earth, oh Lord, we do pray for that true peace. We look on at the various events, and our comfort is to know that thou art above all, God in control, ordering all things according to the counsel of thy will, that not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. We would be thankful for every blessing, every favour. And Lord, grant us each truly thankful hearts for all that thou hast done, for the wonders God alone can do. Thankful for thy word, thankful for the throne of grace, the means of grace. O Lord, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fills the throne of grace. Lord, hear our prayer. Oh, forgive where we've come so far short. We bemoan our poor, poor prayers, but hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. And following this service, be pleased to take each one back to their homes in peace and safety. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
hymn number 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. Hymn 383.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention once again to the book of the prophet Jonah, chapter 3, and verses 8 and 9. Jonah chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? This morning we try to speak a little from the context here of the Ninevites, when the Lord sent Jonah to preach unto them, and how the effect of the word of God was upon their hearts that they repented. And here in our text are the words of the king, or that they must cry mightily unto God, that they were to repent of their sins, for who can tell if God will have mercy and spare us. And the awakened sinner, who feels to be under the wrath of God, the broken law, Sinai, the thunderings, the lightnings, the guilty sinner, the trembling sinner, or the sinner who feels there is no hope, the sinner who fears there is no mercy, and yet to cry mightily unto God, or to cry with that broken heart, to cry with that contrite spirit, or to cry from the depths of their heart, to plead for God's mercy. This, who can tell, a merciful God, or to obtain his mercy, the pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, who alone can save uttermost sinners, who is able to save and mighty to save and willing to save all who come unto him. That crying mightily unto God. Well, I must say that I felt very constrained, really, by the Lord to venture with his same text tonight. But really impressed upon my spirit, there are two clauses. One of them, yet being this, and cry mightily unto God. The other one being, who can tell? Who can tell if God? It is this burden I feel has been laid upon me. And here perhaps we see those who may be in trouble, those who may be in distress, those who may be in great need, whether it be spiritual or providential, all to cry mightily unto God. Those who feel to be pressed out of measure, those who feel to be staggering like a drunken man, reeling to and fro, and at your wit's end, you feel there can be no deliverance, you feel there can be no help, you cannot even see a way in which the Lord can help you, deliver you, save you. But dear friend, we have a who can tell here. Remember, these Ninevites seem to be in an impossible condition. There seemed to be no hope offered to them. But still they would cry mightily unto God. For who can tell? Who can tell if God will yet turn and have mercy? The apostle, writing to the church at Ephesus, exhorts them to put on the whole armour of God. You see, the Lord provides this armour for his people, an armour of defence, an armour of protection, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The child of God will have three enemies, or three types of enemies. One being the devil. And he is no figment of our imagination. He is a reality. He is a real foe. He fights against the Lord and his people. The other is the world. And the world has two ways in which it will attack the child of God. One is by persecution. One is by hostility, opposition. Do we not see it more and more in the day in which we live? Very subtle, very crafty, the persecution which is creeping in against the true Christians of our nation. Now, it's literally just come to mind, and you must just accept what I say. It's just come to mind about the case this week, the bakers in Northern Ireland. I forgot to pray for them this evening. But you see their evidence of these who hate the true gospel, those who hate the Bible, who hate the word of God, the ways of God, are seeking to cause trouble to those who fear God and would stand for their truth. Well, may the Lord mercifully appear. But then also, the world will trouble the child of God and the church of God by that way of enticement and attraction, seeking to draw them aside into carnal pleasures and the like. And when those who fear God are drawn aside into these things, do they not grieve the Holy Spirit? Do they not cause the Lord to hide his face? Or do they not bring trouble upon themselves? So there are two ways the world can be an enemy to the child of God. But then thirdly, the old man of sin. Oh, that old man of sin, what trouble it will cause the child of God. Oh, that I had not of myself this body of sin and death. Oh, this wicked, wicked heart with all its evil thoughts and imaginations which keep rising up. So you see, these three enemies, they war against the child of God. So we have his armour. I'll just read a few verses. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, not self-righteousness, but the imputed robe of the righteousness of Christ. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The feet there speaks of our walk. Oh, may the Lord help us to walk uprightly before him, walking in the light of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But then, finally, this weapon, which perhaps is sadly neglected at times, forgotten at times, laid aside at times, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That weapon of prayer, all prayer. Oh, what a mighty weapon it is, and to one who feels to be so weak, so vulnerable, so fearful, so troubled, so tried. In every situation, in every circumstance, whatever we may be passing through, whatever opposition, whatever difficulties, oh, let us remember that weapon of all prayer, praying always to cry mightily unto God, for who can tell? Now, just a few illustrations from the Word of God. And you think of Jonah himself. Oh, how he had proved the power of prayer. He seemed to be in an impossible situation. There appeared to be absolutely no way there could be any deliverance. And indeed, how could he pray unto God? For he himself had been so willfully disobedient and rebellious. Jonah in the belly of a great fish. What a guilty conscience he must have had. Oh, he must have felt so troubled. He was literally in pitch darkness, and he must have felt the same also in his soul. He knew that he had disobeyed the word of the Lord, the commandment of his God. And here he was in his prison, in his captivity, and he brought it all upon himself. The Lord would not permit that tempest to calm down. The mariners might do all that they can to control the ship, but it was out of control. The lot was taken, and it fell upon Jonah. Be sure your sin will find you out. And he had to confess unto them why he was there. Do all that they can. They couldn't save him. And Jonah knew that he must be cast into the sea. And then there would be a calm. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. But there was Jonah, now in the belly of his great fish. What could he do? What could he do? Oh, he must have felt the pain, guilt, agony of his sin, his awful sin. Now, why should the Lord be favourable unto him? Why should the Lord remember him? Oh, why should the Lord deliver him? Indeed, all to sense and reason. How could the Lord deliver him? It seemed impossible. We wonder if Jonah almost feared to pray. It seemed hopeless. Oh, how can I pray? I'm so wretched, I'm so vile, I'm so sinful. I've been so disobedient, so rebellious. How can I pray? How can I expect God to hear me? Why should I expect any blessing, any help, any deliverance from God? I'm sure God is so angry with me. I'm sure God is furious with me. I'm sure this is the end. I am cast out of his sight. I am cut off. There cannot be any hope whatsoever. Is there one here this evening in a similar pathway? Of course, not literal, but in your soul's feelings, in your circumstances, things which are happening. Now, you yourself know if you have been rebellious against God, disobedient to his commandment, and now you feel to be shut up in darkness, in captivity, in sorrow, with a guilty conscience, and, oh, how can I pray? How can I pray? Well, to whom shall ye go? There's no one else. No one else can help you. No one else can deliver you. Yes, you admit, there is no one else. I cannot, dare not go to anyone else indeed. Would it not be wrong? Would it not be sinful to go to man, to go to an arm of flesh? Perhaps like Jonah here, the Lord has so ordered it that you literally cannot go to man. I mean, Jonah literally could not go to man. There was no man he could go to. And perhaps also in your situation, there is not one man you can go to. But to pray unto God. How can I pray? How can I pray? Well, let me remind you of the words spoken against the Lord Jesus, and yet there's a wonderful truth and a wonderful blessing, and many, many a child of God has proved it. This man receiveth sinners. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fills the throne of grace, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, he receiveth sinners still. Cry mightily unto God, for who can tell? Who can tell? Or that you may, like Jonah, look around and you cannot see how even God can help. How God can deliver. My mind just goes to the father, the afflicted son, and the affliction appears to be what we term epileptic fits. You remember how he was cast down on the ground and wallowed and was cast into the waters and into the fires, and how this father, first of all, brought him to the disciples of Jesus, but they could not cast him out. Certain things they could do, but they could not cast him out. This is too hard for them. Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Or they bring the son to Jesus, and they're literally before the Lord Jesus in his presence, the son has another turn, another fit. Oh, what a sad, sad scene. And a dear father, oh, how he cries out almost in desperation. Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. I believe he was found in our text, cry mightily unto God. for who can tell? But he did put an if before the Lord Jesus, if thou canst do anything. And the Lord Jesus returned with an if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, how he cried out with tears in his eyes. How he cried mightily unto God, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Scatter, destroy all my unbelief. Lord, help me to truly, fully believe that thou art able. Again, did not the Lord Jesus speak to, was it the two blind men who came to him? Believe ye that I am able to do this? Yea, Lord, we believe. We also have that word again spoken to the church at Ephesus. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, cry mightily unto God, for who can tell? Well, Jonah was brought to this. In a sense, miraculously, his life was spared in the belly of that great fish. The seaweed wrapped around his head, stench must have been unbearable. His life is yet maintained. Oh, what a distressing situation he was found in. He must have feared death any moment, on the borders of death, on the verge of utter despair, fearing any moment to be cast into hell. Yet, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Even there, out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Ah, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, the floods compass me about, all thy billows and waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Cry mightily unto God, for who can tell? For salvation is of the Lord. Oh, is this a word perhaps one needs tonight? I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah. And again, this is quite remarkable, not in the midst of the oceans, in the seas, where, naturally speaking, he would have drowned, but upon the dry land. Now I just draw another bow at a venture. Perhaps this is a word to one here tonight. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You see, the first time he wasn't willing to go. The first time he wasn't willing to be obedient. Or the first time he thought he could disobey God and flee to Tarshish. But the Lord most solemnly dealt with him. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh. Cry mightily unto God. Who can tell? Then I felt led to read that chapter concerning Sennacherib. And it would have been Rabshakeh coming against Jerusalem and Judah when King Hezekiah was upon the throne and the principal prophet was Isaiah. And it is noticeable that this account we find three times in Scripture. In the second book of Kings, I believe, here in Chronicles, and also in Isaiah, I think chapters 36 and 37. Hezekiah was a man who feared God. Hezekiah set a reformation in the land when he became king. Hezekiah set things in order. Hezekiah sought to serve the Lord. But still there were the enemies who came to war against him. And oh, what an enemy it was. An enemy who had never been defeated. An enemy who had never been beaten. An enemy who triumphed everywhere that they had gone. No other king, nation, kingdom could withstand the power of the king of Assyria. He was unbeatable. And now he comes to Judah and Jerusalem. Oh, how Hezekiah, what a leader he was. He exhorts the people to trust in God. Now, we would be very careful here. There were a number of things that he did, leaning to his own understanding, which all seems very right and good in their place. He stops up all the waters of the fountains. He strengthened himself. He rebuilt the wall where it's broken and raised up the towers and another wall without. He set the captains of war over the people. He did all of these things, but he didn't need one of them. When it came to it, the king of Assyria couldn't get anywhere near him because the angel of the Lord destroyed so many. But then this wonderful exhortation, with him is an arm of flesh. But he's a great king. He's got a great army. They are a great, invincible power. They are so strong. They have never been beaten, never been defeated. But still, with him is an arm of flesh. Oh, it may appear strong, it may appear mighty, but it's still an arm of flesh. Again, there may be one here tonight and an arm of flesh is troubling you. An arm of flesh is coming out against you. An arm of flesh is distressing you. But this arm of flesh seems very powerful, very strong, unstoppable. All this arm of flesh seems to be prospering. This arm of flesh wants to, if not destroy you, but to certainly put you down, to cause you much distress. But dear friend, still, it is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. Again, when the letters were sent, blaspheming against the God of Israel, suggesting that not even God could deliver you out of mine hand, and how the servants of King Sennacherib cried to the Jews to trouble them, to frighten them. And then we have his verse. And for this cause Hezekiah the king, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. Cry mightily unto God. Who can tell? Who can tell what the Lord will do? Who can tell when the Lord will come? Who can tell how the Lord will defeat those who rise up against him? Who can tell what means the Lord may use? Here we have one angel, and he cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains of the camp of the king of Assyria, so they returned home with shame. They have been defeated by the God of Israel. I come back to this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The prayer hearing and prayer answering God. What a great mercy if, like the apostle, we can also say, who hath delivered us from so great a death. And I've often taken that to mean spiritual death, and you hath he quickened who were once dead in trespasses and in sins. Who doth deliver, and in whom we trust he will yet deliver. Oh, how the Lord delivers his people. And how Hezekiah, Isaiah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah rejoice in their prayer hearing, prayer answering God. Oh, how they will sing forth his praises, who saved us, who delivered us. Oh, how they rejoice in what the Lord had done for them. But then Hezekiah is struck with an illness. He was sick unto death. Indeed, it was the word of the Lord to him, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, how distressing. How distressing to have such a sickness, such an affliction, knowing that there is no cure, no remedy. He have a sentence of death. Oh, how in Isaiah 38 we read how he prayed unto the Lord. Now, his great distress, I do not believe, concerned his own soul, inasmuch he was found a child of God. His great distress did not concern himself, but it concerned the honour and glory of God, because he was part of that lineage which would come down to Messiah, from which Messiah would be born. And at this time he had no son, no heir. Chapter 33 begins, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. When the Lord restored Hezekiah, he promised 15 more years. It would be another 3 years before Manasseh would even be born. I believe this was the great distress that Hezekiah had. Oh, how he turned his face and he prayed unto the Lord. I just feel I want to turn to that chapter in Isaiah as it speaks there. How he cried mightily unto the Lord. But his prayer, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Now, first of all, any here tonight in affliction, sickness, or the like, in one way or another, may the Lord help you to cry mightily unto him. For who can tell? Who can tell? It's rather pressing upon my mind. I'm sure my father will not mind me speaking of something remarkable which happened to him a few years ago when he had another heart attack, and at one point we really feared that he would be taken. And yet his life was spared, And he had his heart attack in another part of America where they had been travelling. And they were able to travel back to their home at Shoto, I think on a Saturday, and he didn't feel well enough, strong enough to take the service Lord's Day morning. So they listened to a recorded service at home. And just at that time, I think the week before, I think Peter Cottingham, who was pastor at Staplehurst, had passed away very suddenly. And on this recorded service, the minister, preaching, I think it's Acts chapter 12, where James had been beheaded by Herod, and Peter was apprehended, put into that prison, with full intentions of him also being slain. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto him. And I think the minister in the recorded service made mention how for James he must die, be taken to heaven, but Peter would be spared and live a little longer. And this was made such an encouragement to my father at that time, his life yet being spared. The Lord still, we trust, has a purpose. You see how they were brought to cry mightily unto God. For who can tell? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Who can tell? Or how the Lord may raise up those under the sentence of death, where there seems to be no hope. Oh, to cry mightily unto God. But then also, it just seems to lay upon me how often a child of God comes here. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. If you will, keep looking to the Lord to appear, to send help, to send deliverance. Keep looking, but no deliverance comes. Keep looking, but no help seems to come. Oh, to still cry mightily unto God. For who can tell? Perhaps it seems every avenue is shut up. Or perhaps it seems there doesn't appear to be any way out or any way through. The Lord just doesn't come. But who can tell? Who can tell? The Lord has that set time to favour Zion. The Lord has that set time to favour his people. The Lord has that set time to appear, to make the crooked thing straight, the rough place plain. But then also, is this the language of your heart tonight? O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Lord, I cannot cope, I cannot manage. Things are too hard, too dark, too trying. Cry mightily unto God. For who can tell? Or who can tell how the Lord, when he appears, can put everything right? You think of the children of Israel. See, time is getting on. I just come to the Red Sea. There seemed to be no way through, no way out. They felt to be trapped. Where could they turn? But unto the Lord their God. You see, he had heard their cries in Egypt. He had brought them forth out of the taskmasters. Would God fail them now? Would God leave them now? Would the Lord leave them to perish now? Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure. He'll help me quite through. But it must be crying mightily unto God. And we see there, who can tell? The Lord made a way where there was no way. The wonder-working God. Time and time and time again, the Lord appears to his people And yet time and time again, the Lord almost give that spirit of prayer. Jacob, when Esau is coming with 400 men. Or Daniel, when they cast him into the lion's den. Or Nehemiah, when Sanballat, Geshem, come against him. This crying mightily unto God. The theme really running through the whole of Psalm 107. Four different times they come into trouble and distress. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Oh, to cry mightily unto God. Who can tell? Another thought just comes to mind. Abraham, in obedience, takes his son Isaac, according to the word of God, there to slay him and offer him up. And yet, just as he takes a knife to slay his son, the Lord calls out of heaven, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do him any harm. For now I know that thou fearest God." Ah, there caught in the thicket was that ram. That ram must be offered up instead of Isaac. But what really is upon my mind is Jehovah Jireh. And some of us here have proved it to be a most wonderful word. It has a double meaning. You see in the margin, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see, the Lord will provide. Now the Lord sees his people when they cry mightily unto him. He hears them. But the Lord will see. Now it may be their situation, their circumstance, that they need the Lord to provide for them. Or to cry mightily unto God, for he is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord who sees is the same Lord who is able to provide and supply our every need. No good thing shall he withhold from them but walk uprightly. I think of our young people seeking employment, and I do fear that it's getting harder and harder in these days because of the desecration of the Sabbath, because there's so many demands on working on the Lord's day, or also being in positions where in a fear of God you cannot continue, you do not feel it's right, but to find other employment also seems impossible. Oh dear friend, may the Lord bring you here to cry mightily unto God. Who can tell? The Lord will see, and the Lord will provide. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Ah, this, who can tell how God will work? Who can tell how the Lord will appear? Who can tell how the Lord may turn things around? Who can tell how the Lord will undertake? Oh, in the church of God, this day is small thing. Still to cry mightily unto God, for who can tell? Oh, a great need there is for others to be raised up and thrust forth into the ministry. Cry mightily unto God, or for who can tell which ones the Lord might be pleased to raise up and thrust forth. You see, it's all of God. It's all of the Lord. But the Lord will have his people to cry mightily unto him. Also, whatever we may be passing through, again, I just think in a nation, or what a state we're in as a nation ripe for judgment. And yet a nation where there is yet a little remnant of praying souls. Or does it not become the people of God to cry mightily unto God to spare us as a nation? Oh, how we fear the wrath of God against this wicked, evil, ungodly nation. Who can tell? It was said many years ago of a grandfather holding a newborn babe, his grandson. The days were very evil and wicked. And the grandfather looked down at his little tiny grandson. Oh, what shall these little eyes see? And we fear, do we not the same for our children and grandchildren? Or what shall they live to see? As the days seem to be getting worse and worse. Well, unbeknown to that dear grandfather who no doubt prayed for his grandson, a little babe grew up and witnessed the glorious Reformation. Who can tell? Who can tell? Dear friends, just one more thought in our close. How many fathers and mothers, if not literal, but in the sense of the prodigals, do we have here tonight? Your dear ones, your loved ones, who have gone off into the ways of the world to have their fill of the world. And there they are, they seem to be prospering. It does not seem any indication or inclination of them ever wanting to return back to the house of God or to the ways of God. They want the world, their mad career of sin. And as much as all your entreaties and pleadings and beggings have gone off, with no intention to come back, well, cry mightily unto God. For who can tell? In that natural sense, the father of a prodigal did not know what was going on in that far-off land. He did not know about the famine. He perhaps did not even know where his son was. But I believe every day he made it a matter of prayer. Every day he cried mightily unto God that his son might be brought back. Who can tell? And we're not told how far the son went off, nor how long he was away. And there's a mercy in that, otherwise we would compare. So we cannot compare the length or time. But the son did come back. I wonder how many times the father was on the point of giving up praying. Or there doesn't seem any point. My prayers are not heard. My son does not return. Why do I carry on? Well, who can tell? Who can tell if that day, the next day, the son might return? But the next day the father looks and still there is nothing. But still, who can tell? I do believe where the Lord will exercise and burden the hearts of his people, they will not be able to let go of the throne of grace. Because there is hope. The God of hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for there is mercy with him. So may the Lord help us. As dear Mr. Wood often used to say, you in your small corner and me in mine, in your pathway, in my pathway, in your circumstances, in my circumstances, your troubles and my trials, to cry mightily unto God. For who can tell? Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £765, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett. Mr. Timothy Barker is expected on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, who will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the baptism of dear Sarah Curley will, God willing, take place on Saturday at 2:30, when the minister will be Mr. Timothy Parrish. Let us close with part of hymn 447. We sometimes sing this hymn at the Lord's table, and today we'll omit verse 3. Pity a helpless sinner, Lord, who would believe thy gracious word, but own my heart with shame and grief, a sink of sin and unbelief. Hymn 447, omitting verse 3.
The grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.